Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Ah, the sweet sound of summer at the beach. Just hearing those gentle crashing waves evokes images of sand on your toes, reading at the beach, and electricity. Okay, well, maybe not so much that last one just yet. Because yesterday in eastern Maine, America took its first step towards tapping tidal power as a potential source of renewable energy. In fact, the Federal Department of Energy has estimated that there's so much power in the ebb and flow of coastal waters that if harnessed correctly, tidal power could generate up to one-third of the nation's total annual electricity needs. Chris Sauer is the chief executive, of the Ocean Renewable Power Company, which is developing the country's first commercial-scale tidal power generator off the coast of Maine, and he joins us now. Chris Sauer, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
So, first of all, yesterday in eastern Maine, you had a dedication ceremony for a small tidal engine that's going to be deployed off the coast there. Tell us, how does the tidal engine work to harness energy?
Well, it's actually a pretty simple concept. It's what we call our turbine generator unit, or TGU. It has four turbines that look a lot like a paddle wheel, like the old paddle wheels on boat, only they're kind of twisted and they're kind of barrel-shaped. So it's a very high-tech version of that. And these turbines are connected on a single shaft to an underwater electric generator. So the moving water hits the turbines and turns them, which turns the generator that generates electricity. And that electricity then is brought to shore with an underwater power cable.
So walk us through the actual sort of underwater physics of this in a little bit more detail. Does it matter what direction the tide's flowing in?
No, that's the unique thing about our proprietary turbines. They're a class of turbines called cross-flow turbines. And it doesn't matter whether the water is ebbing or flooding, which way it's impacting the turbines. They always turn in the same direction. So it means you can put our device underwater. It sits on a big frame. In this case, it's going to be about 85 feet below the water. And as the tide builds up in strength, the currents increase. It starts generating, and then it generates until it starts decreasing. You hit what's called slack tide, and all the people that are familiar with boating know about that. Then it reverses and builds up again and then ebbs out again. So it's an intermittent supply, but the beauty part is it's totally predictable. I mean, we've predicted tides for centuries.
Unlike the wind.
unlike wind, another great advantage is that our entire power system is underwater, so you don't see a thing.
So two potential problems there taken care of using tidal power. Let me ask you, this is a small-scale project to begin with. When it's fully deployed, I understand you're planning to put a network of about 20 of these underwater turbines out there. How much power could they generate?
Well, when we get the, we call the main tidal energy project built out, it'll be about 20 or 25 of these TGUs. And it will generate enough electricity for about 1,200 to 1,500 homes. The peak capacity in any given hour will be just under 5 megawatts. And this project actually is a small project compared to, you know, 6-7 years from now, we're going to be building much, much bigger projects.
Let me ask you, what is it about the coast of Maine? I think you're there sort of near Cobbs Cook Bay. What that makes it such an attractive place to deploy a tidal power project?
It's really pretty simple. People really don't think of it this way, but the Bay of Fundy, our company is focused on the Bay of Fundy and Cook Inlet, Alaska, which are the two best tidal resources in North America. And so Eastport and Lubeck sit right near the mouth of the Bay of Fundy. You get this huge rise and fall of the water every day, twice a day, actually. And that water then funnels through all these islands and inlets, and it gives the water velocity. And what we're after is velocity. So if you look at the map of the coast of Maine in the Eastport, Lubeck area, you'll see all there is islands and inlets. And with this huge resource just next door, literally, pushing this water through, we get a lot of areas with high velocity. It's really the best tidal energy resource on the eastern coast of the U.S. Mm.
The Bay of Fundy famously has those tidal surges twice a day, you know, what, 20 feet or more?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, in extreme cases, 45 feet.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Well, so this is really a fascinating project, the first in the nation, and as you were saying, it's small scale to begin with. Why do you think it's taken so long for the United States to even, you know, try the small-scale tidal energy project?
Well, we've been trying for some time. It's been about 10 years. We've been around for 8 years. There's a lot of things that have led to this. Advances in various technologies like permanent magnet generators, which is this underwater generator we use. The materials themselves, our turbines are made of 100% composite materials, and it's a very high-tech application. The composites industry is evolving, and there's been advances in the last several years. So there's a lot of things that have come together so that companies like ours, we're not the only ones doing this, that are able to take advantage of it. And it's interesting because we've taken different design approaches. Our approach to this system is unique, and other people have gone other routes. And we kind of feel like we're the Wright brothers just before the first flight. I mean, this is just very exciting, and it's ready to take off. And the other thing that's impacted our industry is there's a real market pull for emission-free electricity, where there are no emissions whatsoever involved with this. There's no liquids on board. There's no oils or greases. There's nothing. So there's no possibility of any emissions, and it holds the promise, we think, of potentially being the most environmentally benign method of generating electricity.
Actually, let me ask you about that, because none of these projects, these alternative energy projects, has come without some opposition. Obviously, famously, we here in Massachusetts are dealing with the ongoing debacle over the Cape Wind Energy Project. We were talking about that a little earlier, that there's an issue of people not liking what Cape Wind, if it is to be built, what it would look like on the horizon, since those big wind turbines are above the water. There's also still, from some quarters, ongoing environmental concerns regarding Cape Wind, you know, specifically what it might do to seafowl population. There must be some environmental concern for putting large-scale, even if this is just a test project, turbines underwater. I mean, could it potentially damage the seafloor, and could it harm marine life?
No, absolutely, there are concerns. I don't want to make it sound like this is the end-all. There are concerns, but we've been at this for a while. This is actually our third project. We've done two major demonstration projects, and we've been in partnership with the University of Maine now for almost 5 years. They have very talented researchers in our marine science group that have been doing fish studies, and we've been doing monitoring using this latest state-of-the-art equipment to see what's happening under there. And we don't have enough data yet to absolutely prove that this is environmentally benign, but we do have enough data to show that there aren't any major impacts, and we believe as we build this body of knowledge, this data, and particularly with this project, we're going to have incredible, essentially fish finders monitoring what's going on here. We think that body of knowledge will continue to grow and absolutely demonstrate that it doesn't have any major adverse effects, either on sea life, whether it be fish or mammals, or on the bottom of the ocean with any sediment transfer or other related concerns.
Chris Sauer, I've got one last quick question for you. The bottom line question, renewable energy so far is also not that cheap. How much are you going to be selling this tidal power for?
Well, this particular project will be selling power through a 20-year power purchase agreement here in Maine that was as a result of a decision on the state of Maine that the benefits, the economic benefits from this project far outseed the subsidy that's involved with the rate. But we'll be selling it at 21.5 cents a kilowatt hour. But if you look out to 2016, Our costs are going to be below that, and we believe by 2020 we're going to be competitive with any new sources of power, including fossil fuels.
Chris Sauer is the chief executive of the Ocean Renewable Power Company based in Portland, Maine. They are launching the nation's first tidal power project there off the coast of Maine. Chris Sauer, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Coming up, a new study rates Massachusetts as the second best state in the union for child well-being. But behind the ranking, the numbers show big challenges for many Massachusetts families. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.